And welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. If you're a parent, you probably have an idea of what your child's strengths are and you know where they struggle. A collaboration between the Vermilion Public Schools and the University of South Dakota School of Education is helping student strengths lead the way towards smarter learning. They have crowded into the studio with me now. We've got four guests, and I'm going to go around the table here and sort of ask for your introductions. You go ahead first.
Hi, I'm Robin Weavers. I'm Assistant Dean at the School of Education.
All right.
Sue Galvin, Elementary Principal at Jolly Elementary.
I'm Pat Brunsma, and I work with Jolly Elementary.
Jason Galt, Director of Technology, Vermilion School District.
All right. Who, maybe Sue, let's start with you and talk about how this whole partnership began, because this has to do with the Bush Foundation, the school district, USD School of Education. Where did it all begin? What's the genesis?
Actually, I've been at the elementary principal at Jolly for 3 years now, and probably my first introduction to this position was all the assets in the community. Mm-hmm. And so basically a gist was how do we take a phenomenal group of professional teachers and how do we bridge over to the university to tap into those assets. So probably one of my first agenda items was to start asset mapping the strengths at the university and in the building, and then build a bridge to bring this together.
It's a gold mine if you can get that done, right?
That's right.
And a hugely wasted opportunity if you did nothing.
Right.
But
correct.
It takes work because you've already got 8 million things to
right.
do as,
right.
as an administrator as well.
But if you get all the pieces lined up, you know, and you get a group of people that are passionate about kids working together,
right.
it's time saved in the long run.
All right. And Robin, Assistant Dean of the School of Education at USD, why strengths and where does that sort of come in with, looking at student strengths?
Well, Sue brought that those ideas, that strength-based professional development school. Looking at, instead of looking at deficiencies of people and students, looking at their strengths and building off of those. And this is not only for the students, but it's also for the K-12 students. This is for the teachers. For our teacher candidates also, we're looking at the strengths. What are the strengths that they bring to those classrooms that they're involved with team teaching, with those veteran teachers? How do they work together using those strengths, being able to identify each other's strengths and
right.
celebrating those instead of always saying you need to get better at something.
Right. So let's talk about the philosophy of that, looking at your strengths instead of looking at things that you struggle with and saying you need to bring this, whether it's an area of learning or whether it's just, the way you, maybe you can give
right.
me an example, but why look at the strengths instead of the weaknesses?
Some of the research I've read recently talks about how it's professional development, for example, when you're talking about teachers, veteran teachers, teacher educators, trying to change that, the professional development, elevate, make some changes in what you do in the classroom. What some of the research says is that's almost impossible, and the sit and get 1 hour, the flyby professional development doesn't work. And when someone is in a situation that they have little experience with, strangely enough, they will revert back to what they remember as a student in the classroom.
Really?
And what they saw their teacher doing. And so that's working with deficits.
Sure.
Somebody trying to muddle through. When you're looking at strengths, someone will say, you know what, I am really good at building relationships, so all of these things that I want to do, I'm going to focus on building those relationships, and through those relationships, I'm going to be able to do these other things because I'm very good at it. And so in that very very foundational part of them, they're using those strengths at the foundation to make changes and the confidence. I'm sure we could go into
right.
psychology of how people learn and everything like that.
And we'll do that in a minute. I want to pull Pat into the conversation and tell me what your role has been in this collaboration.
I am a past educator at the School of Ed. I spent about 5 years at the School of Ed, so I know teacher preparation. I now work for the South Dakota MTSS project, which is a multi-tier support system, which works with a lot of schools in school improvement. So I sort of brought a lot of hats to the table, and when Sue needed somebody to work on the grant that just to sort of pull in some professional development and connections to our student teachers that are in the building, providing support and helping them be comfortable using a lot of different tools to support them. So that's how I came into the project. And
so the Bush Foundation's participation is significant. Even just putting the name with it is a validation of sorts to say this is a collaboration or a project really worth it.
Yes.
So what has that sort of meant for you to have that behind what's happening now and what happens next?
Well, I think that Bush really wants to make an impact on student or on teacher preparation. So they liked the fact that we are embedding the strengths-based school and providing some good professional development to our teacher candidates, but also growing the teacher population at Jolly. We worked with a writer. We brought in a lot of PD that for our own teachers. We had an author come in November, worked with our teachers on writing and embedding some great writing practices. They have a new curriculum, so it gave them time to talk to an expert and build their pedagogy a little bit with that. And it strengthens our students' writing because they've been embedding those practices during the year, and we see some great improvements.
And not every teacher is comfortable with writing. Just because you teach elementary school doesn't mean that that's your, background or strength.
Yes, and I think that statewide, I work with a lot of teachers statewide, and writing is probably the one thing that everybody would love to spend more time on, but with all of the demands with testing, that we tend to leave that one out because we run out of time. So.
Boo. We like writing.
I know.
So do the teachers.
I know.
And so do the students. Yeah. So that's part of the process. It was one of the challenges of balancing all the work that does need to be done. So, yes. Sue.
Just a little overview. I think it's really important for people to understand kind of all this started with conversations with our teachers.
Sure.
Where do you see the needs of the of the students? And then basically what we did then was we wrote to the university saying, will you be our partner? So I think through this professional development school, we probably have one of the most unique models in the nation where an elementary school reached out to the university versus the university reaching to us. So then basically, based on the student needs, the pillars that we developed for the professional development school was the first one was, what is the language of saying how we're going to work with the University of School of Education? The next was then the teacher pedagogy. So then it was the writing was a pillar. And then we wanted to get our school STEM-based or stream-based, and that was the next step. And then the last was the strength-based professional development.
What's stream-based?
So our friend Mr. Galt here. This is all very, very exciting.
Yes,
so, okay.
All right.
So I guess I've kind of been wrangled into the PDS strength-based program. I actually wrote a grant with the assistance from my wife, who's a middle school teacher here in Vermilion and a STEM instructor. This past October, we received grant funds from the state Department of Education for what's called a Classroom Innovation Grant. And so we picked up some money, and the idea was we wanted to bring STEM learning to the elementary. Which is not something you see that often. Most STEM classes start in either middle school or high school, but we thought, what a great opportunity to bring science, technology, engineering, math to that elementary level and essentially immerse regular classroom teachers into this style of teaching, project-based learning, 21st century skills. We've got kids that are working through what's called the engineering design process, which is developed by NASA. So the idea was, when we got the money, we're going to build a lab. We're going to take this space that used to be a computer lab and create this amazing place for learning where kids will have the opportunity to utilize numerous amounts of technology, everything from robots to we have tables that have whiteboards on them. We have a 3D printer. And use this space so that regular classroom teachers at grade level can take their kids and hopefully in some cases substitute regular classroom education. Most importantly, things are always going to be attached to a standard and do this in a more hands-on learning environment. So we actually came up with STREAM because we wanted to integrate art as well into this process, as well as reading, which which includes writing. So we came up with STREAM as our acronym. And the STREAM Lab's been up and running now for about 2 months, and we've already seen some really great strides.
That's pretty neat. I don't think I've ever heard that before. Is that something that's original, STREAM? Did you come up with this, or is it starting to catch on?
I think you'll see it starting to catch on. Mm-hmm. I can't say that we came up with it originally, but when we were putting the acronym together, we noticed that there were some other school districts out there that were using it.
All right. Principal, take me inside the classroom now and tell me what a project looks like, or what a strengths-based lesson looks like.
Well, actually, I think that what I'll do is let Mr. Galt kind of handle that one, because he's been at the table with the staff development with the teachers.
Sure.
So, Jason.
Yeah, so the idea behind the STREAM Lab and strength-based kind of melding together comes from the idea that we find that we have students, of course, with different strengths, and we have teachers with different strengths. And there are certain teachers that have a proclivity for what we consider to be STEM. And we utilize those teachers to train our other teachers, just as we utilize those students that have that high proclivity for science, technology, engineering, and math to assist and collaborate with their members of their classes. An example that we just had was we had some teachers that brought their fifth graders in to and created essentially a lesson using these little robots called Dash and Dot. And their job was they were going to defuse a bomb using Dash, the robot. That was their real-world problem. There's a bomb located somewhere in a building. You need to use this robot to determine distances. So they were creating this hands-on activity, but they were doing things like calculating measurements and converting measurements, all standards-based, all Common Core. But they're creating these maps on the floor with tape. They're using these robots, and they're utilizing an iPad or a device to develop code to basically move this robot to the area where it needs to touch this bomb safely and then move back out of the building. So that's a typical example of kind of what goes on in the STREAM Lab. We've also seen things where we have teachers that are utilizing art to teach math concepts through geometry. So I think what you have to understand is I say I got wrangled into this, but this is, I think, really a primary example of what happens when strength-based, when we start talking about kids and differentiated instruction, this becomes kind of the perfect mate to when we're determining what kids are really good at, what they might not be as strong in, and vice versa with teachers. USD, on the other side of things, has also connected and determined that this is really, really interesting learning that's taking place, to the point there they want to get involved. And so USD School of Ed has come in and said, teach us what you know so that we can let our instructors know that this is what teachers are doing at Jolly. And since we have this cooperation now through PDS, we want our professors to teach their student candidates in the ed school some of these same things. So an exciting thing, and I should probably let Robin talk. I tend to get long-winded, but we are actually, we've partnered with USD School of Ed, and they're going to actually, the TET 200 class next year will be a portion of the class period weekly will be taking place in our STREAM Lab, and we'll have college sophomores that will be paired up with a second grader, and they'll be running through all these primary kind of, do you know how to use this technology that we've got in this lab? Along those same lines, we have a graduate level course this summer, which will also be doing some writing of actual curriculum for this STREAM Lab, so that teachers won't have to do all the work. Because really the hardest part of this, of developing this lab and instituting it, is the fact that, well, we need to make sure that teachers are creating authentic lesson plans that are attached to standards. And that takes a lot of work. If we can take some of that work out of it by allowing some of our graduate students at USD and professors to do some of that work, it works out well, and it also meets a lot of those requirements that we have with the PDS grant and the Strength Finder.
How do you find out as an adult, if I want to find out what my strengths are, I can go on and take the test and do an online test. How do you find out what kids' strengths are?
Okay, now this is where I get passionate.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been involved with the Strength Finder, the Gallup organization, for about 25 years. And so basically there is a Strength Finder that you can administer to yourself. And I have the book right here.
There you go.
So this is the StrengthFinder book.
2.0 from Gallup. That's
right.
The title of the book. Don
Correct.
Clifton is who sort of, you know, did this research or, you know, pioneered this research, right?
Right.
For strengths. Go ahead.
And one of his favorite quotes is, what would happen if we studied what was right with people versus what's wrong with people?
Yeah.
And so basically what the tool allows you to do is with the book, you can, there's actually a code in the back, and you can administer the Strength Finder to yourself. And then there are 34 different themes where it will outline what your strengths are.
I've done this.
Oh, good.
So, oh, yes.
Awesome.
I hope everybody
so
has
what,
done
So what's
this.
Your top theme?
Ideation.
Ideation.
I have
well,
great
that's
ideas.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very unique. So
How about you? Your top?
Maximizer.
There you go. Maximizer's on my list, too.
Awesome.
That's where you sort of take this, you know, pearl and polish it till it shines and take something and make it, you know, you love to bring out the best in people. So, yeah, awesome. Your number one strength?
Context.
Oh, I don't know that one.
That's historical, looking at things as in the historical.
Interesting. Jason, realm. Number one strength?
I'm a maximizer, too.
Maximizer.
Mine is woo. I like to be around people and talk to them.
The woo is winning others over,
yes.
In case you don't know. And that means yes, which is kind of, and I know some people who first got that on their strengths and they were like, what the heck is woo? And then you read more about it and you're like, hey,
it
woo is
fit.
All right.
It's
I want you on my team.
Yeah, you see everything about yourself in those top five strengths.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead. Tell us more.
And then, so basically, in working with teachers and adults, just the conversation of what's right and getting people to utilize what their talents and strengths are as a building administrator, it just is almost magical. And you get people that are really passionate about things because they're doing what they love. So I saw the movement with adults, and then Gallup came out with the Strengths Explore, which is for children. So
oh,
that's for
really?
Ages 10 through 14.
That's online then?
Correct.
Okay.
And so for $10, you can have your student do the Strength Explore. And I can just tell you a little story. Our youngest son, Jefferson, every October I would circle the calendar because I knew the teachers would be calling because of Jefferson's talents and strengths. And basically, Jefferson is a class clown. And so I actually gave him the Strength Explorer, the Strength Explorer, and it showed that his top talent was presence, meaning that he liked to be in front of people. So then moving forward from third grade on, every time I would talk to teachers, I would just say, let me tell you about my son. And these are his strengths and talents. And then we made a plan of how we could support him in the classroom, and then the road was a success. Mm-hmm. Now as an adult, one of his top strengths is woo, and he's
okay.
winning others over.
So it does evolve and change.
Absolutely.
A little bit.
So absolutely.
Can, yeah.
So you have the Student Strength Explorer, which it has 10 themes. It's not the same as the adult.
Okay.
And then last May, for a Mother's Day gift, my oldest son gave me the Parent Strength Finder. And it's called Strength-Based Parenting. And this is a book as an educator that I've actually been waiting for 25 years. And so with the Bush Grant now, in March, we were able to take 14 educators in our community and train them with the Strength-Based Parenting.
Fabulous. How long does this go on? This is a few years, this program? You can come back and tell us more?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the last word. Robin, we got about 30 seconds left.
You know, this has been such an exciting year, an opportunity to work with these great people here. And I really want to thank Bush for the opportunity and our dean, Don Easton-Brooks, for allowing this, seeing the vision in all of this also.
He's a pretty impressive guy. He's been in this studio
yes.
before, and I want
yes.
him to come back too.
Okay, we'll bring him back.
Visionary stuff happening at the
it's
University
exciting.
Of South Dakota. I want to say thank you to all of you. We'll put some links up on our website after the program to sort of give people some more information. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.